You're listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
Sheets.
I am
Sofa King. Sofa King. Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. With retard.
You say funny things.
Welcome to another edition of the Sofa King Podcast here on Savage Radio, the only radio station that carries us, by the way, 89.7 yes. FM Bakersfield.
That we know of.
There might be other radio stations pirating us.
Yes.
And if you hear them, please let us know so we can get our money.
Yes.
I don't think they pay when they pirate.
They don't pay. No, yeah. They don't. Well, we'll make them pay.
We'll make them pay.
Yeah. I got a baseball bat and yes. kneecaps. Just not my kneecaps. No.
I have kneecaps too.
Yeah. No, I'm taking kneecaps.
I have dangerous kneecaps. Yeah.
So today we have an interesting topic.
Yes.
And it is pizza.
It is pizza. And so, you might think that's a strange topic, but we've talked a lot about GMOs and about fast food restaurants. We recently did an episode where we talked about coffee and a lot of facts that people don't know. And we thought, what do people love more than pizza? And the answer is very little.
Also, we might have been running short on time and not really had a topic, and I might have been making pizza for my kids and just went for it. And
is that what it was?
About pizza. That's yeah, exactly.
Dave's getting angry about a topic, and he's like, you know what? All right, Dave, you get pizza.
Yeah, we were out of time, and I was making some DiGiorno pizza, some fancy pizzeria version of DiGiorno pizza.
That's the good stuff.
It is, actually.
It's really good.
It has carbs in it, so I didn't have it this week, but I did eat some toppings off of it, and the toppings were delicious.
It's also owned by Nestle.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah.
So this is, and I mean, most people know probably by now by listening, but if you haven't listened, Dave is a vegan, so you make special pizzas, don't you?
I do. There's a couple places in town that have like vegan cheese and make pizzas, but usually if I want pizza, I fix my own and do it that way. But I've been, even before I was a vegan, I'm like severely lactose intolerant. So pizza has largely been off of my diet for
long time.
Many years.
Man, sad to be you. Sad it's panda. Rough.
But I I would eat pizza and I would triple the dose of double strength lactaid, hoping it would make my stomach good enough.
That sounds horrible.
But the pizza was so delicious, I would do it anyway. And then it was just like I would finish my pizza and then roll the dice. Probably in 3 hours, I'm going to wake up feeling like someone stuck a hot ice pick in my lower intestines. But maybe I'll be okay.
So that's how good pizza is. You were willing to take an ice pick to the stomach.
It took me years of searing pain to realize it was no longer worth eating. But now they have really good vegan cheese, so I can eat pizza again.
Well, yeah. God took away milk from you, but he made you really handsome. It was a good trade.
Yeah. Pizza's so good.
Well, pizza's so good.
He's willing to make his celly mad so that he stabs him with an ice pick.
Right. Now I'm past it anyway in vegan mode, so I wouldn't eat it anyway.
What is vegan cheese made of?
Soy milk, mostly, typically.
And it melts and everything?
Yeah. The Daiya brand, it's actually really good.
I have found, though, that sometimes Dave might not know what he's missing. He offers me things at times and says, no, it's just as good as the original. And then it just tastes like cardboard and soy sauce.
Yeah, but if you haven't had cheese or like meat in forever, so you're eating like a soy meat or something, or a tofu meat or something, you know?
As far as he's concerned, it's delicious, so it doesn't matter. Ugh.
Well, the thing is, though, with the cheese, I mean, I'm never going to say that Daiya cheese tastes like mozzarella cheese, because it doesn't any more than cheddar cheese tastes like mozzarella cheese.
Right.
But it is a good cheese.
I guess it could be its own variation
exactly.
of cheese.
It's just its own type of cheese.
So, like, I don't like blue cheese, but that could, you know,
I don't
other people
cheese,
other people do.
Blue cheese is horrible. It's the devil's cheese.
Yeah.
It's not even blue.
You guys ever seen blue
cheese?
No.
I think it is cheese, though, right? It's like just cheese and ranch or something?
By my definition, it's not cheese and ranch.
I don't know. That's what it seems like. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the secret.
It's about as good as cheese with a horrible mold in it.
You guys have seen, you guys have seen blue waffles disease, haven't you?
No.
No?
I think I've heard of this and it might not be radio.
Yeah. So don't, now I'm not saying anything, but I'm just going to make people want to go. So don't look up blue waffles if you don't know what it is.
So
to say that
that just backfired. I for the record, I have no idea what this thing is, but I promise you that people, including myself, having heard this, are gonna go Google it and
I'll
then
Google
feel
it.
Feel
exactly.
very sad.
Exactly.
Oh,
well,
no.
I looked up some of the history of pizza, and I was fairly surprised. I did not realize how far back pizza, or I don't know, loosely defined toppings on flatbread of sorts. So I don't know what you call pizza. You know, like. There's the Chicago pizza versus New York pizza. It's a pie. It's thin crust.
Yeah.
But it goes all the way back to like Egyptian times and the Middle East, like 500 BC, people would top flatbreads with olives and olive oil and different herbs and things like that to flavor their bread.
So they make crazy bread.
If it's from Egypt, I'm not calling it pizza.
Well, I would say like
– I'm just saying.
What do you define as pizza? Like my pizza is like bread with like a dough. With sauce, it's got to have sauce,
right?
I mean, and then you know, cheese and toppings, you know. So, if it doesn't have those qualifications, I don't consider
this
it pizza.
This is Merca.
So, all your
you need,
yeah, so all
you
your research
dough,
you did,
red sauce, and some sort of cheese.
Yeah. Well, so that's as early 500 BC, people started putting toppings on flat bread. So, that was like the
no marinara,
the grand
sauce.
grandfather of pizza of sorts. Then during the 1600s, poor Greek settlers in Naples would eat flatbreads, and they began putting cheese and tomatoes and garlic and olive oil on top of the flatbreads.
Okay, now we're talking.
Not yet cooking them together. And I didn't know Europe didn't have tomatoes, that they were brought back from the Americas, and they originally thought that they were poison or something.
I knew that they thought they were poison.
Yeah, I
didn't
see
because they're part
why.
Of the nightshade family.
Ah.
But I didn't know that they came from the Americas.
Well, so they started putting it on there, and then it took them quite a while. By the late 1700s, finally they got smart and began baking those items together when they baked the bread.
So they weren't smart before that?
So it was more like a
they just set
like,
the ingredients
it was a medieval it was a medieval Lunchables.
It was like a
the Lunchables pizza. The Lunchables pizza.
It was a medieval Lunchables.
Those are
it's just crackers.
Those are my daughters. I swear to God, there's like 27 different Lunchables.
Right.
You know, cheese and turkey and crackers. Like, okay, that's normal. Okay, cold nachos not sounding so good.
No.
Cold pizza bread with cold pizza sauce.
It's just crackers.
Cold cheese.
Yeah.
No, it's like a weird dough. Like some of them have these weird like.
Oh, the one that my kids call like, crackers.
No, they're like a 4-inch like flat dough and it's cold. Like, oh.
Cold
isn't there one that's like a cheeseburger?
Yeah, they have like a
like
yeah.
What?
Oh,
come
man.
On.
They have the worst. I don't know. Kids are stupid. I mean, it's
did you try
ridiculous.
It? Though? Maybe it's okay.
No.
Could be good.
No.
All right. So in the 1700s, they started baking the stuff together and made what we would consider pizza, probably the first of pizza, and probably really good because you're talking about some Italy stuff. But finally, by 1830, the first pizzeria opened, an actual place that was dedicated to the making and selling of pizzas.
So was that in Italy?
That was in Naples.
Okay.
And it's actually still open today. It opened in 1830 and it's called
That's legit.
Antica Pizzeria Porta Alba or Port Alba.
They
Antica
still make
Pizzeria
it the same?
Port Alba.
It's just
I think
Domino's
so.
Delivers the pizza.
I saw something that they would carry some type of oven on their head. And I don't know if it was legit or not.
What?
I was like, that sounds crazy. But like a basket or a warming thing of some sort to keep them warm. And they would walk around the city and sell them from those baskets that they were balancing on their head. But that was prior to their becoming a pizzeria. And then someone's like, let's just make them come to us.
Yeah,
I don't carry hot pizza on my head in this oven anymore.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot. I've got a basket full of hot pizzas on my head. Yeah. You know, we could just do that from the house.
So that was the first place.
Come get them.
Still open, super impressive. And there were originally only two pizzas, which a lot of people probably know this. There was the marinara.
Yeah,
which
I know
just,
that.
Yeah, tomatoes, garlic, olive oil, oregano. And then they had the pizza margherita, which I had heard of, and it's tomatoes and with basil leaves. That's the traditional Italian one you just see with the big basil leaves on it. But the reason that it's called the pizza margherita is because the queen of Italy at the time was Queen Margherita, and she had tried one at apparently this place.
Oh, so it doesn't have tequila in it?
And loved it. No, nothing to do with it. I don't know where that comes from.
That wouldn't margarita. Happen today. That's like I made a really good sandwich at my deli.
And, the Obama burger.
Yeah, exactly. And Obama ate it. So now it's like Obama sandwich.
I knew it.
That's a strange.
So, but because of her love for this pizza, they named it after her. And because everyone apparently adored her, she was an iconic person, it actually spread the love of pizza. People were like, what is this thing? And everyone wanted to try it. So it increased the popularity of pizza.
So that was like some really early hardcore marketing.
Totally. That was they put a celebrity face.
Yeah, exactly.
On the product.
Exactly. What type of cereal is that? Brad Pitt. Ooh.
Yep.
Like you said,
Wheaties with Michael
delicious.
Jordan.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And then finally, let's see, I made it more popular in Italy. Around the 1900s, immigrants in the United States started selling pizzas. Like people that knew because they lived in Italy how to make pizza, but it was more like the lady in the parking lot with the tamales. There was no official pizza place to buy pizza from in America.
That's crazy.
They were just immigrants making pizza and selling it on the street or something, I guess. You know,
so it's like the corn. Like nowadays, like the corn man comes around and it was pizza.
That's what I picture.
You know how sucky Canada is? They didn't get pizza till 1950.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't come across that.
Yeah. You didn't? Yeah. 1950.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Like that's how, because aren't they, well, they're French Canadians, right?
Right.
So the French people didn't come over with pizza? They don't eat pizza?
Well, have you heard about poutine?
No, I'll stop at 1905 and
Vladimir
go back.
Putin?
Tell me about Putin.
No. What's Putin got?
I'm just talking smack about Canada. Like, A, they came late to the pizza game. B, they ruined French fries. Because if you go up there, you can get, I'm pretty sure it's called poutine. I might be saying the name wrong, but you get French fries. And they take the French fries and they smother them in beef gravy and then top it with cheese curds like cottage cheese.
Oh, I was okay for
they have it at like Burger King. Like you can just get – like it's just – there you go.
You just
would
wait
you like
get,
us to ruin your French fries?
Wow.
So that's like their
animal style In-N-Out but it has cottage cheese on it?
I was down with the beef gravy. If you would have said like beef melted
gravy.
Cheddar.
Oh, you like my beef gravy.
Yes.
The thing is – and like I grew up in Michigan and a lot of people – I mean I'm guessing this came from the Canada factor, but a lot of people would get a side of beef gravy to dip their French fries in.
It was the ranch back in the day.
Yeah, it was old school ranch, but apparently you have to smother it in curds.
Ugh, that's the part. I can't do cottage cheese. It's too universal. You can't put pineapples on something and then pepper and hot sauce at another time. It's just like it's weird.
No,
yeah.
No. That's gross.
My voice faded away for a second.
So what a Canadian, because I always like my pizza with Canadian bacon on it, but what do Canadians call Canadian bacon? Is it just bacon?
Bacon? I don't know. Yeah, it must be. Nah.
No, it's back.
It's back bacon. Yeah. It is back bacon.
It's called back bacon?
Mm-hmm. Back bacon.
Well, it was worth the wait because I like Canadian bacon on my pizza. So
it's called back. Yeah. I know that from Bob and Doug McKenzie from way back in the day.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You need to watch Bob and Doug McKenzie.
I also
Strange
do.
Brew? You've never seen Strange Brew?
I know what Strange Brew is, but I have not seen it. Yeah.
Do you remember Spuds McKenzie, the beer mascot?
The dog.
I do, yeah.
The dog.
Spuds McKenzie was Bob and Doug McKenzie's pet dog in the TV show and then in their movie.
So Strange Brew is what we need to watch to know what you're talking about right now.
And to make it even nerdier, and this will make it probably seem less appealing, Strange Brew is actually a remake of Hamlet, except Bob and Doug McKenzie don't play Hamlet. They play the two characters, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, who are pretty pointless.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
And
that was like a rhythmic syllable.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Anyway.
It was like it's like the intro to Laverne and Shirley or something. I'm pretty sure they say that in the beginning. How's it go again? Say it one more time.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yeah, that's in the beginning.
Rosencrantz is in L.A.
Rosencrantz. Rosencrantz, yeah. And in a Dr. Dre song.
And, yeah.
We're taking a lot of. Isn't there a?
So Dr. Dre created pizza.
Yes. And ate it with back bacon and poutine. And then,
yeah.
Just to sum up the history. Yes.
So if you weren't listening a minute ago, that's the recap of.
I believe Dr. Dre says that there's a morgue on Rosecrans, and that's where you can collect bodies of people he's killed.
Does he say Dr. Dre says that?
Yeah.
You guys are so off.
More
pizza information.
Swearing. In his delivery, but it's all. So
Dr. Dre said, and I quote, there's a morgue on Rosecrans that you can pick up the bodies of the people who I killed.
I'm so confused. The 7 degrees of which you guys got to Dr. Dre and Rosecrans.
We're talking about pizza. With,
yeah,
I know, but where did Dr. Dre come from?
Pizza? What, Canadian bacon?
Dr. Dre likes pizza.
Kevin Bacon likes pizza.
See? Kevin Back Bacon.
Bacon. His middle name is Canadian Bacon. Bacon.
His middle name is Back.
Yep.
So in 1905,
Baby Got Back. Did you know Sir Mix-a-Lot did a song in 1986 that actually was never put out? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
1905 is also a year like 1986, and it's also the year that Lombardi's opened in Manhattan, and that's the first pizzeria in the United States. Was Lombardi's. I watched a show where some guys battled about that, but according to the internet, Lombardi wins. Because
what do you mean
they
battled about it?
There was some debate as to whether that guy or the other family opened the first pizzeria. Because I think there was like some brothers involved and some fight and some split off, and they're trying to say which one was first. And it's like there's a one-year variable there. But the big thing that happened in America is after World War II, a lot of the soldiers were stationed in Italy. And they ate a bunch of pizza while they were there.
Right.
So when they came back, it was like moving to Washington and wanting to come get In-N-Out. They moved here and they couldn't get the pizza. And so then a lot of pizza chains started to open up because those guys wanted pizza and there was a demand for it.
So are there In-N-Outs in Washington now?
There are not.
Oh. What is wrong with me?
That's a good question.
You know the ice cream, Napoleon ice cream?
Yes.
Dynamite.
I can't say Neapolitan. Every time I say Neapolitan, it's Napoleon.
Right.
I don't know why.
I have something filed in my head that sometimes when I try to say McDonald's, I say Disneyland.
And I swear to God, I can read Disneyland McDonald's.
Because well, I was just reading. I categorized fun things in my brain when I was little during like age 5. And it was like things I really like, Disneyland and McDonald's. And they got put in the same folder. Reach in that folder, I grab the wrong thing sometimes.
Right. I think they are in the same folder. Yeah. They're the same company.
I was just reading that. Italy in 1903 to introduce Neapolitan pizza, but I can't read it Neapolitan. It's
you read Napoleon
every single time, and I know when I read it, it's wrong.
Well, when you said Napoleon ice cream at the beginning, I already knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, I didn't question it.
You Jedi mind tricked me with your ice cream.
You guys know Napoleon ice cream? Yeah, and he said dynamite.
Yes, he did.
I can't help it.
He likes pizza.
In 1943, Chicago deep dish pizza was born. Have you guys ever been to Chicago or had that? I have not had it.
Okay. I have a story about that.
Let's hear it.
Okay. There's a place in town called Cubby's, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my buddy told me that, it's very good pizza and
it's
Chicago like
Chicago
style
all right.
Pizza. Not thinking any, I'm a White Sox fan, not thinking about it. I go there and I walk in and everything is Cubs, everything. The baseball team, Cubs.
Oh,
so Cubbies. He played a horrible joke on me. And
I wouldn't care.
I almost burnt the building down. But I did try the pizza because Chicago-style pizza is pretty good. But they have
it's more like a pie, though.
It is a pie, and it's the toppings are on the bottom, and then the cheese, and then the sauce.
I just really feel like – I know that like people in Chicago are so passionate about it, but I really feel like they should just go ahead and call it it's a pizza pie.
Yeah.
Like you can't eat it with your hand. It
you have to have a fork.
A pizza pie.
Yeah.
But they, usually they had legit like cheese bread there though. It was really, really good.
So this guy's been to Rosedale. You've been to Chicago though.
Yes.
Let's hear the Chicago story.
I didn't like Chicago pizza as much as I like Michigan pizza.
Really?
There you go.
What's
there
up with Michigan pizza?
It's just really good pizza.
It's not dish style though.
Well,
not at all. No, it's like it's the same type of pizza you would expect. It's just sort of perfect.
Every place
like
is Rusty's.
When I moved here from Michigan, every time I got pizza, I was sad. Like everywhere I went didn't
matter.
But
is it like some place in your hometown and it's just nostalgic?
No, every place.
Really?
Every place that I went in
so
Michigan,
you're saying
the pizza
that
was amazing.
That broke down Michigan is better than us.
I think the closer you get to New York,
it gets
the better pizza will get.
Yeah, I do have to say,
the farther away you get, it was just nothing. Everything's just kind of generic. Everything was gross. Everything was bland. But it's like every pizzeria you would go to back in Michigan, it's like every single one of them was like, that place is completely different than any place else in town, but it's delicious and unique. I have to agree with
you on that. The further you get away from here, from California, that it gets better. Mm-hmm. When I went to New York, New York pizza, right? It's just a flat, get a fat piece of pizza. And we went, stood in this huge long line for this little corner shop. You walk in and it's like you get a Sprite, a Coke, or a water, and a slice of pizza for $1.50.
Right.
Man, that's insane. But you don't, there's no toppings. Like you just get a slice of cheese pizza.
Right.
Like that's what you get. There is no ordering. No. And I'm like, cool, I'm hungry, you know. And we go through this line and it's super quick. There's like boom, boom, boom.
That is efficient pizza on the,
And I get through and I take a bite of the pizza. It's cheese, sauce, flat crust, you know what I mean? And you have to fold it over like a taco. It's so big. And it was probably one of the best pieces of pizza I've ever had. Like,
oh my God.
The sauce was so good. Yep. And it had nothing on it.
I mean, I've had a jumbo slice. I've never been to New York. Well, not out of the airport. And I've never had the Chicago pizza. But I'd have to say, for efficiency and eatability and convenience, I would have to go with a New York thing, just because, for one, it's like two pieces of pizza in one. You can just fold it in half. You can eat it. You can carry it. It's portable. It doesn't require utensils. You don't have to sit down at a restaurant to eat it. Where the Chicago thing, you got to have utensils. Yeah. You're going to sit down. Yeah. It's probably a more expensive experience.
I mean,
there's probably no cheap way to get Chicago pizza.
I mean,
you got to buy
a
whole pie.
It's good pizza. It's a unique pizza experience, but I wasn't crazy for it. I preferred the stuff that was back in my hometown.
I'm going to check out the Cubby's thing, though, because I want to be – I know I'm not going to Chicago anytime soon.
No, their pizza is actually – it's pretty good. So, I mean, like I said, besides the Cubs paraphernalia that almost got your store burnt down, it was okay.
The Chicago deep dish was invented at Pizzeria Uno. Is what it's called, which I've heard of that before.
Yeah, I have too. And they actually do it in like a cast iron deep, like a fryer, like a chicken fryer pan, like a deep.
I think
dish.
I saw it.
Oh, you're talking about like a kind of like a Dutch oven pan,
yeah,
like a thick cast iron pan.
Yes.
Well, by the 1950s, pizza chains started to open across the United States, which helped bring pizza to other countries as well because everything started getting franchised out. 1957, first frozen pizzas were introduced. In the late 1960s, corrugated cardboard boxes were invented for other purposes, but I guess that really helped the distribution of pizza.
I would imagine.
Yeah, delivery and ease of access. And in 1968, those little pizza bite microwave pizzas were invented. So it brought it into your home. So you had pizza on demand.
Dark day for pizzas.
Yeah, it's not pizza. It's like, they're like little Hot Pockets.
It's like a mini crappy calzone.
It's a way to burn your mouth eight times. Right? The Hot Pocket, you bite it and you're like, damn, I got to let that cool down. You learned your lesson. But on the pizza bites, you bite it, burn yourself, and be like, you get through it, and then you just do it again because you thought, well, they got to cool down by now, but they're little pizza bites. They keep all that heat in.
And they destroy the roof of your mouth.
Yes.
My favorite thing about pizza boxes that I learned today, actually, is that in order to make them resistant to grease, they coat the inside with a layer of PFCs.
I knew you'd find something like this to ruin our world.
I got plenty. Trust me. If there's a corporation involved, they've screwed everything up and risked your health for something simple.
So PFCs, I'm assuming, are plastic.
Yes. It's a oil-resistant chemical that's known to cause neurological disorders, developmental disorders, and low birth weight babies, which might be helpful since they're going to be eating a lot of pizza.
Yeah. And I have a fun fact on it. Is that the same stuff they coat cans with, like soda cans?
That's BHPs.
Oh, BHPs. So probably a similar thing. So,
but odds are, you know, don't worry. You'll get the PFCs in the box, and then you'll get the BHCs in the tomato sauce that's on the pizza from
so
the can.
It can give you neurological disorders. And interesting fact that more than a quarter of boys between the age of 6 and 19 eat pizza every day.
I have some crazy stats like that.
That's a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
Do you think the turtles had anything to do with that?
Oh yeah, that was Ninja Turtles, huge
Michelangelo.
I'm sure Domino's was all over.
Oh,
that.
They were so
I don't
happy.
Know how much they paid, but their money was well spent. So pizza rolls or pizza bites was 1968. 1985, bagel bites, making the pizza an available snack at any time. And then in 1995, stuffed crust was born, which I have never been a fan of. No, I don't know what weird. They put
well, it's
in there.
Because, it's because they put string cheese inside.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
melt string cheese in the crust. And
that's
it's
what
horrible.
It tastes like. You nailed
it's not,
it.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And I know a lot of people don't like the crust. Like, to me, that's the best part of a good pizza.
Yeah.
So don't mess with the crust. So
my kids bring me the crust immediately.
It's,
I'm like,
it's like delicious.
Yeah, my kids don't eat the crust, and I like the burnt cheese on the crust. Yeah.
It's like a breadstick.
But something. The other thing is, too, like, Domino's came back with a vengeance and put, like, a garlic, like, butter on the crust of the pizza, and that just made it so much better.
There are other crazy. There's like pig in a blanket, super duper stuffed pizza. There's the
no, it's
things.
Crazy meatball stuff, like buffalo chicken wing stuff. Like I'm serious, it's just,
baby
it's
arm it's stuffed. It's like I mean, stuff a baby in the crust and eat it.
Turduncan.
If you're hungry, there's more people than cows on this earth, so that's what it's going to come to. Oh, China. Weird. China. Did you hear China just took away their law, their one baby law or whatever? Now people can have more babies.
Yikes. I mean, they must have a plan to take us over.
Yeah.
Like, we got this real estate deal that's going to go through.
That's a lot. Yeah. We got a lot of space. We're just going to shove them off into the ocean.
That was a horrible thing.
Well, I think they also had, I think they were suffering from a radical downside of a society that didn't have enough of both sexes.
Yeah, there's some weirdness because
like there's
of that.
A weirdness.
Yeah, they have way more
like
women.
20 to 1 or something.
Wasn't
right?
there wasn't
no,
there way more women?
Men.
It's way more men.
Oh, yeah, cuz so they couldn't like keep no one, male babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, crazy. It's,
no, they couldn't keep female
couldn't keep
babies.
Female babies.
Why is that? If there's
because
more
they
men.
Reproduce. More. It's like spaying the female cat. The female cat can make 8 babies.
Yeah, but you can stop I guess, yeah.
No,
I
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You could have stopped either.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Like you limit either one of them and you've done the same job. Yeah. They just chose females.
Well, I don't know, because one guy can get 2 guys pregnant, so that might have been.
Oh, that's true.
That did not come out of your mouth right, but.
One guy can get 2 guys pregnant?
No, that came out of his mouth.
Is that what I said, or 2 women?
Yeah.
You said 2 guys.
Well, you understand me.
I did.
One guy can get 2 guys pregnant, okay?
Right. No, I think getting rid of the females is the option, because if you get rid of. You know, one male could still be with 100 women.
Yeah.
So
it's ask the, women ask the Saudis yeah. and yeah, Mormons. So.
Either way, it's just
Mormons out there. Raise the roof. Woo! Just, how many wives you got? Call in right now. Let us know.
Yeah. Look at me.
Hey, well, how many pizzas do Mormons eat? They have like 57 kids.
I did not look up Mormon specifics.
Why didn't you look up Mormon stats?
I did not look
up
any Mormon.
It didn't occur to me until just now.
I have no pizza.
And do Mormons like eating pizzas while they're jumping on trampolines? That's what I want to know.
Those are random stats you're looking for, sir.
Yeah.
Well, let me look it up.
I'm not sure.
You look it up while I say real stuff.
That's real.
I got a couple of crazy stats to lead into the franchising of pizza and why it's
so justified. Let's come back with that. We're going to take a
break. Time.
Yeah, here in about 3 minutes. So let's get 3 minutes of silence for our pizza eating fat kids out there, and then we'll go into a break.
Are we really going to be quiet for 3 minutes?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Break?
The Self King podcast will be right back.
Robot Yogurt Drive-Thru is located at 3650 Gosford Road, the northwest corner of the Hagen Shopping Center. Robot Yogurt serves up frozen yogurt treats with a simple menu that changes daily. Fresh fruit toppings and vegan options are available. Open noon to 8 p.m. daily. More info at robotyogurt.com.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old-style automotive repair shop, specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs, to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
All right, welcome back to the Sofa King podcast here on Savage Radio, 89.7 FM. Bakersfield, and we were just about to get into some interesting facts about pizza. We're talking about pizza. If you missed the first part of the show, you can go to our website, sofakingpodcast.com, and download it tomorrow. Yes. That's when it's available.
Yes, you can.
So
I'm always I was interested in the pizza topic because, as I'm sure you know from listening to the show, I'm pretty fascinated by corporations and corporate power. And I was curious to see exactly how big the pizza industry is, and then immediately look into how they ruin our lives to make a dollar.
Yeah.
But
and I was not interested in the pizza as much as Dave or Brent.
Right.
But once I found out that Dr. Dre invented pizza.
Yes,
he did. I'm all over
it. Out of Morgan Rosecrans, yes. He invented pizza with back bacon.
I'm so white, I don't get hip-hop jokes.
So I was curious how big the pizza industry is, and it's in the U.S. only, it's a $38 billion industry as of 2014.
What?
$38 billion in pizza. And I looked into it because I was
curious.
Man, that's
competing with Christmas.
That's pretty big. That's a biggie. And I was surprised because when I looked into it, I kind of turned into Christopher Walken right there.
Wow.
Dave.
I was surprised because
pizza.
I was looking at who the biggest chains were, and Pizza Hut is the largest chain, obviously.
Ugh.
And they have 14.8 roughly percent of the market. Domino's is number two with 9.8%. Little Caesars has 7 and change. Papa John's gets smaller. But the biggest was independent pizza joints. And that was 40, almost 41% of all pizzerias in the United States aren't franchises. They're actually independently owned pizza places, which I thought was an astounding number.
Yeah, and those are the better places to get
absolutely.
Pizza,
those are
sure.
just better places. I mean, here in town, the first time I ate pizza that didn't make me cry inside was when I finally made it to the East Side and ate pizza at Rosa's.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this is finally a real pizza made with ingredients and it was legit. And, but I was real, like I said, I was surprised by that statistic because if you picked any other sector of a restaurant market, especially one that you consider to be fast food, the overwhelming number is always going to be chains, but that isn't the case with pizzas.
Yeah.
And they have to justify a higher cost too. So it's pretty impressive that they're able to do that and maintain that status in the industry because I just did it too. Wow. What is going on?
Status. I don't know.
So because, you know, you're going to go pay, you know, $26 for a pizza. You might pay $12 for a pizza at a chain.
Right.
So there, it's twice the price. And they're still justifying it, but it does weigh
Are you serious?
twice as much. You know what I mean? It's better. You know, it's better.
It is better. And I you had said that roughly a quarter of all teens eat pizza every day.
Six to 19.
Yeah. And saw that.
That's every single day.
Every single day. Yeah.
Like 6 to 19. Like
that's
ridiculous. That is insane.
And I saw as adults, 1 in 8 adults eats pizza. Any given day, 1 of 8.
Yeah, it goes from infancy up. It goes, you know, it rises to 6 years old, and then it's, or no, was it 9?
I think they should make Gerber marinara in little jars.
No, six, yeah, you 6 to 19
primed.
Yeah, get them primed for
prime
it.
Prime the pump early.
What is in 2011? The government or the FDA labeled pizza as a vegetable.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Congress. That's not true.
I swear, dude.
Pizza. I don't know if it went through. I know they tried to pass it. I wasn't sure if it actually passed or not.
It was considered as a vegetable by the government.
Because the thing is, ideals the requirement.
I'll explain to you why I think it's the case. When I worked for the university.
It can contain no vegetable, though. Cheese, bread, and tomato sauce. That's a fruit.
So no, it says, I know,
that's
but
a fruit. Tomatoes
they consider
are a fruit.
It says here that a serving of pizza contains at least 2 tablespoons of tomato sauce. Actually met those vegetable requirements.
Yeah, except for it's a fruit.
Except for they consider it a vegetable.
They can call it whatever they want. It's a fruit.
Yeah,
it doesn't make
fruit,
any sense.
But
the FDA considers the tomato to be a vegetable.
Because
when I did some work through the Food and Drug Administration for a student program, and it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I had to go to an all-day meeting about what food service providers could consider vegetables or not. And I sat in on a 2-hour discussion about how much ketchup you had to give a student before the ketchup was considered a vegetable.
Was green Jolly Rancher on there?
No, it wasn't. It
doesn't have
so
seeds.
Like, if you only had a packet of ketchup, this was what was jacked. If you had one packet of ketchup and gave it to a kid, your meal wasn't going to be like, or a small thing of salsa, your meal wouldn't be good. But if you like quadrupled the amount of ketchup, then that would now count as a vegetable. That, so let's get ridiculous. You a ton of sugars and sodium.
Well, what's funnier is
that now it counts as
you can
a
go try to buy the fanciest ketchup at a regular grocery store and it's just high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
And then like paste right. or something.
Right. Tomato
yeah.
paste.
Yeah. So yeah. it doesn't even really contain that much tomato, which in the first place wasn't even a vegetable. It was a fruit. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's insane.
Well, they consider fruit, they call fruits and vegetables a category.
It's the same you just thing. Need enough and then fruits same and thing vegetables. With cucumbers. Cucumbers have seeds and they're considered a vegetable.
I didn't know that one, actually.
Is a cucumber a fruit?
I think so.
It's I don't know.
Madness.
It has seeds. I mean, tomato has seeds. It's got. If it has seeds, normally it's a fruit, right?
And you guys were joking about doing...
Dr. Dre? No, I was not.
I wasn't either. I never right. joke about Dr. Dre.
Yeah, you don't joke about Dr.
About, like, having Gerber pizza sauce, you know, to feed to your babies. But that's the goal. I mean, the goal of every corporation is sort of a cradle-to-the-grave marketing scheme. And one of the things that specifically the company or a umbrella company called Yum Brands,
right.
which owns Pizza Hut, basically owns everything that isn't McDonald's or Burger King. Like, I mean, they own right. Pizza Hut, KFC, A&W root beer, a whole host of other Taco Bell, a whole group of things. But they get Pizza Hut is sold in 19,000 public schools in the nation.
That is insane. Yeah. Probably based off the FDA statistic.
Yeah,
I bet.
But they sell, and the schools, when I was looking into it, the schools do it because A, it keeps the kids happy at lunch. There was actually an instance of one school where they took pizza off the menu because they were trying to get healthier, and all of the students organized a boycott and refused to eat anything in the cafeteria until they would put pizza back on there. And then it just started to cost the school money because the schools sell those lunches. It's actually right. part of how they make money.
It was a silent tantrum.
Exactly. It was a silent tantrum, an organized tantrum. But so they try to get them. They have their they have a group called the Book It program, where if the students read a certain amount of books or words per month.
Oh, I did that when I was little.
Exactly. They get a free personal pizza.
Yeah.
And I mean,
John's Incredible here does that. They get the free.
But look at the marketing hook here, right? Yeah. Like, what 9-year-old is going to go to Pizza Hut and get a personal pan pizza and call it a day?
I remember getting those all the time when I was little. I totally right. forgot
but
about
But then
that.
Your entire family yeah. packed up, right. went to Pizza Hut, ordered a bunch of pizza and breadsticks and soda, paid money for video games, yep. and then you got a free pan pizza, which didn't matter anyway yeah. because you were going to eat.
Didn't cost them anything.
Right.
right. No, it's brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
And from what I read in 2013, 20 million elementary school students were enrolled in the Book It program and were being given free pizzas because, again, A, it gets you to bring your whole family to the Pizza Hut, and B, it brands you early. So if you have these positive memories of going to Pizza yeah. Hut and eating these pizzas, then when you become 18, 19, 20, the first pizza there. Place yeah. you're going to think of, you're just going to be acquainted with that flavor.
I can see the wall where the chart was, where the little blue star went on my name, or when you hit that thing. I totally had forgotten about that.
So speaking of students getting free pizzas, I have a thing here where in 2014, a delivery driver was he got a $1,268 tip.
How?
It says that James Gilpin, I guess that's how you say his name, Gilpin, he delivered two pizzas, which cost a total of $1,250 to the IWU Chapel in Westland University.
Oh, I heard of this.
He was greeted by a body of 3,000 students and residential education CEO Heath Newman. Newman gave him a $1,268 tip collected by the students, $70 in gift cards, and a lot of inspirational notes written by the students.
Just a random act of kindness?
I believe he was a Satan worshiper and they were trying to convert him.
I don't know, I mean it was a random act of kindness.
If I remember the story right, I think they were just saying whoever delivers the pizza we're going to give this to because they probably don't make much money and they're hardworking.
So they're poor and we want them to come to our church.
Probably.
Well, let's be honest, he was a pizza delivery driver. He bought pot with that, a whole bunch of
probably. $12.16
and some pizza.
Right.
He was listening to Wiz Khalifa and bought a pound.
Yeah,
he could have got some jackets for some cold people.
No.
And that's what they spent their money on. They don't realize it.
But my favorite thing that Yum Brand ever did, they're really amazing at marketing. They do they were the first people to get marketing into video games. They do all this crazy stuff. And when they were when we were launching all the initial parts to the International Space Station, everything was in place. Most of the station was built, but no one could meaningfully progress on the station until there was a housing module launched, and Russia was launching the housing module, but it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they didn't have the money in the space program to launch the module. So the entire world was waiting for Russia to launch the housing module so that they could start to meaningfully inhabit the ISS.
Right.
They had no money, and the senior vice president in charge of marketing for Pizza Hut called the equivalent of Russian NASA and said, "Hey, how much does it cost to launch your rocket?" And they said, and he said, "I'll tell you what, if you put Pizza Hut on the side of your rocket, we'll pay for the launch."
They did that?
And they did that.
That's nice. Awesome.
So they put plastered on, I mean, brilliant marketing. The entire world, like, this is the final thing to go up to give us a permanent international space station brought to you by Pizza Hut.
Wait a minute, though. It would have been cooler if, like, on the housing unit, they put the logo on the housing unit. So right now, floating around the Earth.
No, it was on the rocket. So I'm sure like 30 seconds into launch, it just said the Hut because part broke off.
He should have had it on the module.
But they did deliver the first pizza to the ISS on a payload. So Pizza Hut was the first company to ever deliver a pizza into space. No, they should have put it on the housing
unit. Yeah, it would be like the first advertisement in space, which is floating billboard.
But they did put it on the side of the rocket.
Yeah, it's not there.
It's not there anymore.
If it were there.
Yeah. If it were there. It's not there.
Flat Earth. More like a flat pizza.
Totally.
Yeah.
I see some symbolism going on there.
They try to get you young and then you become, you know, and we wonder why. I don't, but you might wonder why 25% of all teens eat pizza. Well, things like this are exactly why.
Wow. I actually somehow out of all that have a couple of stats that you didn't get. 93% of people in the United States eat pizza once a month.
Yeah, wow. Like families have like Friday pizza night.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
at Brent's house, they have like pizza three nights a week. Though. I make up for some of that stat. I make up for those who fall behind.
Yeah. If you're not eating pizza once a month, Brent's got you covered.
Yeah. An average American eats 46 slices per year. So that's like a little more than a slice a month.
It's not bad.
Doesn't sound too crazy.
That doesn't sound too crazy. Yeah.
And there are 3 billion pizzas made every year.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
For how fat we are, I think we ate a lot more pizza.
And total number of pizzerias in the United States is 70.
I like pizzeria.
Pizzeria. That's a fancy one that you worked out with the tuxedo.
We're all jacked up today.
Pizzeria. 73,000 pizzerias in the United States alone that sells 350 slices per second in the United States.
350 per second?
Per second.
That's a lot of pizza.
Now.
I was like, what's going on?
1,500. That just happened. Yeah. 1,500 slices when I did that. That's insane.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's super insane. And then there is a pizza that costs $1,000. Did you guys see that?
No, that's
It's Louis ridiculous. Louis XIII.
Oh, I don't know that. It wasn't called that.
Yeah, if you order the Louis XIII, it's like the most expensive
It has six different types of caviar and gold on it or something.
That's probably exactly what it is.
I bet it tastes horrible, though.
Oh, no. The most expensive pizza in the world costs $12,000.
And what's on it? That's the gold one?
It is. It says, when you order pizza Louis XIII from Chef Renato Viola.
They cover it with arrogance and stupidity.
You might have to take out a second mortgage.
It has Louis XIII's actual hair lock. I'll take olives and king hair
it
locks.
It has 3 types of caviar, red prawns, Mediterranean lobster, and sea. What is that word?
Anemone?
Cicada?
No.
It's C-I-C-A-D-A. Cicada?
No, I bet don't know what that is.
Either way, it's stupid.
It has a baby lion on it. And then it's served with cognac and champagne.
Did you see the $12,000 Pizza Hut pizza?
No.
It's like $11,800, and it's only available in Pizza Hut America. But if you pay $11,800, you buy this proposal pizza, and it comes with
a diamond ring.
Like, I think they shut down like a whole restaurant.
Does it come with a hooker?
Make this super thing. It comes with a fireworks show. It comes with a ring. It's like, it's a $6 piece of crap pizza, but
how many people have bought this?
I have no idea.
I bet no one. Yeah.
No, someone. They wouldn't have it. Somebody's bought it. Somebody is stupid enough. Somebody call in right now and tell us if you bought this pizza?
I did read something cool. Pizza Hut was started with $600.
That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty impressive. A couple of brothers did it. They borrowed $600 from their mom and rented some weird little like brick building, and they got some secondhand equipment. They did have to take on a partner, but I assume maybe the $1,200 total investment in the franchise itself, because they put in $600. He probably put in $600,
and then he's the one that owns it now. He kicked those two out.
Right. It only took them a year.
Still never got $600 back.
Yeah,
within 1 year of opening, though, they franchised, and the first franchise came out. That's insane. They wasted no time.
That is pretty good.
Currently, there are 11,139 Pizza Hut locations worldwide with 160,000 employees. Pretty impressive.
I dislike Pizza Hut.
It's an army.
I ate it in high school
because it was like the place. That's what there was.
It's just not good. It never was good to me. I don't know.
The crust is kind of greasy. It's like buttery. Super greasy.
It's just like grease.
No, it's just crap.
It's not my go-to.
Somebody just took a crap and ran it through the oven, and that's what you eat. It just flattens out like a cookie, and it goes to the oven.
How much do you think it costs to open a Pizza Hut if you want to open a Pizza Hut?
$600 in my garage. with an investor of $600, let's do this.
No, if you want a franchise now.
We'll have a franchise open in a year.
I'm going to say.
We're going to call it Pizza Nut.
If I had to guess on a franchise, I would say $1.25 million.
You have to have a net worth of $700,000 with an initial investment of $295,000 to $422,000, depending on the size of the franchise. And they get $25,000 a year and 6% of all profits.
For how long?
Forever, while you have the franchise.
That's less than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Because some companies
just open up my own pizza shop, like.
But then you don't get all this stuff.
You get the brand, the marketing, the boxes, the cups, everything's done.
You just put crappy Pizza Hut in front of it.
Yeah, no, it's because they're all different. Like some, I know Domino's is really easy to get a franchise. It's kind of like Subway. They're really easy to get franchises because part of the business model
is we
want as many as possible. Right. We want them everywhere, so they end up making it really easy to franchise. But then they take a ton of your profits back.
Right. 25%
so you're not
going to
make any money. But like McDonald's, you need like, I want to say it's like $1.5 million to open a McDonald's, and then they meet you halfway and pay for the rest of it, but you still have to pay for the building. You have to do.
And when they do those remodels and change the sign, you pay for that sign.
For all
like
that
it's 60
stuff.
Grand. You need to sign. Yeah, when they do the
building,
mandatory.
Yeah, the building remodels.
Yeah.
Like to put the kids' PlayStation in your McDonald's because you don't have it. Like,
they don't have
you're
those
paying
anymore.
For it.
They got rid of it.
Yeah, they do. They have
it. Patago.
Nope. It's there. There's one in Castaic right now with one.
You're not allowed in it.
No.
It's
there's kids running around
probably
in there.
Shut it down. Yeah. I know there's most of them have been. Yeah, they're horrible.
Those things are Chuck E. Cheese's horror shows. I mean.
Yeah, but do they still. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese still has their weird crawl around
thing?
In it and the ball get
pit,
sick
yeah.
and die thing.
Needles in the bottom. Yep, a whole bit.
Yeah, that's
if you don't go into Chuck E. Cheese and get stabbed with a heroin needle. You got no
and
experience.
By the way, if you want to talk about delicious pizza, let's talk Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. Bring it on.
We've all had to stuff down a couple slices of that pale cavefish pizza while we were watching a nephew dance around and play whack-a-mole.
What is a cavefish?
You've never seen a cavefish? Little pale fishes that are super white and gross because they've never seen the sun?
Fish is a word, English major.
Fishes.
Are you sure you're not talking about people on meth?
The act of
maybe. Maybe.
You know what? I have a thing. Like, I can appreciate good pizza and I recognize good pizza, but I really don't have a problem with even crappy pizza. Like,
Little Caesars?
I think Little Caesars is great.
I grew up on Little Caesars, man.
It's $5 and it's amazing, which brought me to profitability. I looked into that. On one of those $5 pizzas, they make about 90 cents. And I was like, man, three employees, they only make 90 cents.
Yeah, but
per
they
pizza.
Sell a billion of them.
I don't know if they sell a billion. Well, I'm trying to do the math. Like, how many do you have to sell a day? Do you sell a thousand pizzas a day? Though.
They sell a lot.
They got three employees. They got PG&E on those crazy ovens. Got, maintenance.
Yeah, but you have the hot and readies. They just pop them out. They're already there. You just go.
How
get
many
it.
Do you think they sell a day though? I couldn't.
Well,
find
but the thing is though, the other thing you have to keep in mind is that's your hook. Like the $5 pizza is your hook.
They most have people, other pizzas.
Most people aren't walking out with a single hot and ready $5 pizza. True. They're going to add on their bread, which is the biggest ripoff. Right. You know, that's got to be a massive, you're going to walk
it's
out
three
with a
bucks
bunch
with
of soda.
Sauce.
You're going to buy some nasty cookie thing they baked. You're going to, I mean, it's kind, it's like, it's the same principle that Walmart uses. I mean, they advertise this ridiculous end cap deal where you can get this piece of crap microwave for $7. But then when you get to the store, you're going to buy a bunch of other stuff that's full price or overpriced, and you're going to think you got this deal, or you're going to go in for the piece of crap $7 microwave, realize it's a piece of crap, walk out with a $69 microwave.
Yeah.
But I mean, that $5, I'm sure there's a lot of college students who are making it, you know,
walk out with
making
that,
it with a $5 pizza, but odds are you're walking out with a couple of sodas and that just quadrupled their profit margin. I'm sure they're.
But I would like to, I have not had bad pizza, is my statement, I guess.
I've had plenty of bad
pizza. I've had great pizza, and I've had regular pizza, but I've not had bad pizza other than like maybe some super microwave pizza, like Celeste microwave pizza. But if it at least goes in the oven, I think it comes out okay.
The worst pizza in recent memory that I had, which you should not be surprised, was in the middle of nowhere in Iceland. It was horrible. And keep in mind, my expectations were, because I didn't eat cheese, I just want... Because there was nothing there I could eat. Everything was just fish and salted, but they also made pizza. And I just give me a pizza crust, put some sauce on it, maybe throw some olives on it, and I'll just call it a day. I'm starving and I need to eat something. It was a horror show.
But was it regular ingredients? Because I want to talk about Korea, because there's the thing where like Taco Bell is delicious, but we agree it's not Mexican food.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that after the break. Okay. I'm going to take one more break, our final one. So you're listening to the Sofa King podcast on Savage Radio, and we will return and talk about Korean pizza. See how good that is.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Welcome back. This is the Sofa King podcast here on Savage Radio 89.7 FM, and we are talking pizza.
Yes.
All kinds of pizzas, from nasty pizza to $12,000 pizzas.
And right before the break, I was talking about the nastiest pizza I had, which was in Iceland. And even though this isn't pizza, I thought this was awesome. When I was in Reykjavik and I was at a convenience store, which wasn't convenient, I was looking and they had Doritos and they had the nacho cheese. They had all the flavors you would expect. And then they had the Cool Ranch. But do you know what it was called? Because it wasn't called Cool Ranch.
White sauce. Idea.
Cool American.
There's some stuff like that.
It was cool. It was Cool American flavored. And apparently they don't, because ranch doesn't mean anything ranch, there.
So
ranch,
so Americans taste like ranch. That's what they're going to
they
think
call
like?
They apparently all over the place, they call ranch dressing American dressing because ranch doesn't mean anything.
Oh, like so Italian is just
right,
dressing?
Exactly. Like we're oh, so apparently sense. If you're in most places and you get American dressing, you're getting ranch.
That makes sense. I mean, ranch is literally like buttermilk and mayonnaise mixed with some spices, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So,
but they didn't have any strange Dorito flavors, but I thought out the, unless it actually tasted like a cool American, in which case that's a nasty Dorito.
It's like a hipster Dorito.
Yeah.
There are some crazy Japanese Doritos if you look them up, but bringing that up, Korea pizza is what I came across. And so something I noticed when I traveled, I went to Europe and there's always the franchises, but they have weird menu items that we do not have.
Sure.
Like at KFC, they had like potato sandwiches and it was like a potato patty, like really weird stuff that you're like, what is that? Chips in a vending machine were paprika, and that's barbecue chips, and they're called paprika.
In Maine, they have the McLobster sandwich.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, yeah, because they have in a bunch Maine. Of it. So I watched a funny YouTube video where a couple was going from place to place eating pizzas, trying Chicago pizza, trying New York pizza, and then they landed themselves in Korea, and they ordered a couple pizzas from Pizza Hut, and the menu was insane. Like, I wish I had a full copy of the menu, but these are some of the things that they read off of the menu. Cranberry cream cheese.
Pizza?
Pizza.
It's like a bagel.
They looked crazy too. They had like these ornate designs. So they look like star doilies that your grandma knitted or something with somehow had cheese and stuff on top of them.
Like Brent's underwear.
Cranberry and applesauce. Sweet potato shrimp.
Was this like a dessert bar pizza? Like,
here's the one they ordered though. This is the one they ordered. They were like, we got to.
I would have left.
They ordered cream cheese mocha bun, seafood island.
What is that?
Cream cheese mocha. Wait,
mocha bun.
It is. Let me read it again. Cream cheese mocha bun, seafood island.
None of those words belong in the same cluster.
No.
And that's coming from an English professor. So they're.
And so,
cream cheese is fine. Mocha bun.
That's a dessert.
I can see that. Okay. A mocha bun.
Yeah. Coffee bun.
Seafood island.
Yeah, when SpongeBob shows up,
the island part. Like, it's not just seafood. It's also all the crap that washes up
maybe
on the beach.
Maybe the pizza is the island, you know?
Oh, I can see that.
Consider the pizza being the island.
There you
go. It's got the seafood. Yeah, it's got the seafood on it. It's the mocha. What's a mocha bun, though?
It like sounds like something you get at the mall.
I'm picturing like a coffee-flavored cinnamon roll or something, especially with the cream cheese, like a cream cheese icing, mocha-flavored honey bun kind of a deal. But then where the hell does the seafood island come in?
I'll give you their description. Here's where it came in. So for one, the price point is insane. So the guy showed up to the door, and they were like, is this the regular size? He has this little tiny bag because American portions and portions in other countries are insane. Like, you can't find a 2-liter of soda. That does not exist.
Yep.
Like, the one you would grab at Walmart on your way out to drink is like the family size, and you must drink out of Dixie cups or something. But the pizza was like a personal pizza, if that. And it was $30 for the pizza.
Well, yeah, because you got a whole seafood island.
Seafood islands are not cheap.
That is cheap for a seafood island.
I mean, so, with mocha buns?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
They bit into it. And they were like, that's chewy. That's some kind of undercooked meat that was unidentified. Like maybe ham, they thought. They got cream cheese. And then as the bites proceeded, I guess they do it like in a row. The deeper you get into the thing.
No.
Like the
schnozberries. Like schnozberries. This is not good.
So I've got the chills right now just thinking about eating that pizza.
They're multiplying.
The next bite in, the guy was just hesitant. He was holding it in front of his face and you could just see like, ugh. He didn't want to go for another one. So he goes for another bite and he was like, cinnamon? Huh. That's weird.
The mocha buns.
Yeah, cinnamon, and he bit into a raisin.
I had a cinnamon roll.
Okay.
So it sounds okay, except for shrimp, lemon shrimp. So they said, he's like, that's a raisin and shrimp. So it was cinnamon cream cheese, spinach, pineapple, raisins, and lemon shrimp on a mocha bun, seafood island or whatever. So... They said the closest thing they could describe the shrimp to was if you took lemonade and put it on the stove and then boiled it down for hours until it became a concentrate, and then you cooked the shrimp in that. It tasted like lemon syrup on shrimp with raisins and spinach and cream cheese.
That sounds so horrible.
But they got to the crust and they're like, hey, this is a mocha bun. This is kind of that part.
The mocha bun.
The mocha bun tastes like a mocha bun. They're like, this could be good with some coffee or something.
Oh, man.
But I think they wasted $30. Yeah.
That sounds like
they absolutely did not waste $30.
No.
That was worth every penny they paid.
Our story
they
was
got like
$30.
They got like 12 different flavors of pizza. Ugh. So,
uh-oh.
We're hitting the ending.
I guess the music.
We've talked for over an hour now, or about an hour.
That went by fast.
I did.
I didn't even get to tell someone my pizza facts, but whatever.
Well, if we can talk about pizza for an hour, we can talk about anything. So check out the other rest of our shows. You can check them out on SofaKingPodcast.com. You can get them on iTunes. Search Sofa King. I won't say any of our sponsors that we have, but you can win stuff if you go on Facebook and leave us a message, comment, tell us that you hate me or whatever you want to do. That's what people like to do. So anyway, this is the Sofa King Podcast, Savage Radio Edition, and hope you guys have a good rest of your night. Don't be a retard.